many of us are aware and have heard that, you know, the manufacturing base, or maybe we've experienced it directly, has been changing, and that's been an ongoing trend for, you know, quite a number of years now. And Dale's successful family business that he runs with his brother Dan now has been redesigning their business to create a, you know, a business that has value within this changing U.S. manufacturing environment. And like many of the guests that we've had here on Critical Mass, the radio show, the key to being able to be successful over the long term is to be able to adapt and respond and anticipate future changes so that your business can continue to be positioned properly in the marketplace. Let me stop for a second and check if Dale is now has joined us on the radio show. Dale, are you there? Okay. Again, to our live listening audience today, I do apologize for the technical difficulties that we are experiencing. As you know, the loyal listening audience, generally speaking, on Critical Mass, the radio show on octalkradio.net, we're usually technical difficulty free. So today is a little bit of a surprise to me as your host, and I'm sure that our producers in the studio are working to correct this. So periodically, I do need to check back to see if Dale is on the line. So I'd like to do that again and say, Dale, are you available?
I'm here.
There you go. The magic of the connection. I'm glad that you're joining our call. I'm not sure how much of the introduction you've been able to hear that I've done, Dale, but basically I've talked about your firm and your background relative to the information that we had put together and the announcement for your appearance on our radio show.
All right.
Welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show, Dale.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to start by asking you to talk to our audience about your path to your firm and help us to understand Crenshaw Tool and Manufacturing,
okay.
Dian Manufacturing.
First of all, I started out my life as a in youth ministry, and then didn't see that as my gifting, and started working here in the summers with my father. And I enjoyed all the aspects of working here, and I liked the idea of working with my dad. And I didn't start the industry with my dad. I started out with doing mold making and plastics, and spent a year polishing plastic injection molds. And then dad approached me, and he's a guy I love talking about. He took us into started the company in 1962, and he was an excellent die maker and craftsman, and that was fun to see as a kid. And then as I came into the company, I was able to see and appreciate him even more, what he was able to do and what he did in business.
You know, it's interesting that you started in the industry but not in the firm with your father, which gave you, I'm sure, some valuable life lessons and a base of experience to measure your father's firm and your involvement in it. And so let's just spend a minute, if you would, and kind of go back to that time when you first came to work with your dad.
Okay. Well, he was a great teacher, and we had our struggles as a company from the very beginning, and I saw him struggle over a lot of over and through a lot of recessions. And a lot of times of downturn, and lots of tears and everything else. So in that aspect, I was able to glean that portion of it. I knew it wasn't going to be if I was going to ever be a business owner, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. He showed me a real firm foundation for business, and I really appreciate him for that.
You know, I'd like to ask of all the things that you learned, and we're kind of sharing here with the different experiences that you had, some outside your current firm, some certainly most inside. Is there an overarching life lesson that you use to run your firm?
Well, I'd say that the key to me in business is to be honest and compassionate. And that entails a lot of things, from employees to suppliers and vendors, as well as being true to the principles that I govern my life by. And I don't think business is any different to me than life apart from business. And I'd say a second lesson I believe in is that I don't think that I can be successful in business or anything else without being diligent in everything that I do, and then having a purpose for what I do. And it's my opinion that if a person thinks his purpose for working or running a business is only to make money, that's not going to be successful. He's not going to succeed.
Third, I'd say that
whether I'm running a business or I work for the other guy, my work needs to be seen as provision for my life and not my life. And then fourth, of the four things, beyond my work, my life has to have a purpose, whether it's family, whether it's giving to others from someone's time, talent, or treasure. For me to be successful, I have to have a purpose outside of work, or even in conjunction to work. Those are the four things that I've kind of made my life pattern after.
Well, those are four powerful principles, and I appreciate your willingness to share them publicly here on the radio show today, and to the listening audience. And from my exposure to both you and your brother Dan, I can attest that I see those elements in how we've gotten to know each other in helping to get ready for your appearance on Critical Mass, the radio show.
Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You know, one of the things that we're going to talk about now is, you know, the changes that you have made to the business in response to your clients kind of cutting out the middleman. So before I ask you that question, I can't go any further in the interview without, you know, saying that one of the things that I know that your firm also did was sort of change its name, and I have, I'm kind of working through that a little bit here on the interview today, making sure that I say Crenshaw Dye and Manufacturing rather than what I said in the announcement in your appearance, which was Crenshaw Tool and Dye. So, you know, what I talked about in the open, Dale, was how successful businesses that survive multi-years as well as generations have to continually kind of reinvent themselves, and I imagine the change to Crenshaw Dye and Manufacturing is an element of that continual evolution of the business. Is that correct?
That's right. We've always been a job shop stamping and manufacturing company. There's lots of smaller dye shops, there's a few larger ones, but a few with our versatility. But metal stamping has always been our main focus. We've always had experienced tool and die makers and designers, and we have, you know, probably 100 years of experience with our designers and die makers in combination. And in the early 2000s, we redesigned ourselves, and we started offering CNC cutting and punching and machining capabilities, which also includes water jet cutting. And the effort for that was to offer more diversification to our customers and our potential customers, and it gives us more flexibility with production runs. So instead of being forced to run large quantities only as a die shop with expensive tooling, we can now make one part or five parts, 10 parts, or even 10,000 parts. So it made us a lot more versatile. And that's how we kind of transitioned into a more of a manufacturing company from a tool and die company.
interesting being able to be much more. It's interesting to hear that you're able to offer as small of a lot as you are, as well as doing larger work as well. That's certainly valuable and probably something that in the changing manufacturing footprint that we're seeing here in the U.S. and North America in general, it is probably necessary to continue to advance the company in the marketplace.
Yes, it is. It's been, it allows us to do prototypes even, and that lets our customer see the product before he actually goes to market with something or actually goes to production with something. So that also gives us the edge.
So, we have had on our radio show, Dale, in the past year, experts on social media talking about the application for a variety of areas. Many times I think some people who hear social media think that maybe that's really the domain of service providers. Maybe you heard our earlier interview with Christopher Quinley. Maybe that's the type of companies that use tools like that. But let's talk a little bit about what you and your brother are doing within the firm to expand the awareness of your business.
Yeah, as the best we can tell, the metal industry, we're kind of pioneering and innovating, by reaching out in social media. There's not a lot of people connected yet in our industry. There's some, but we're hoping that it catches on, and we're taking, putting our efforts into it. Learning the different ways of broadcasting ourselves. A problem that we're kind of seeing with it is that you don't see the buyers in the model, and I'm concerned about that. The reality is that some of it's experimental in our industry. But we're making an effort at it, and we're going to see if it works for us. Beside that, we use reps. They sell our stamping and metal forming footprint, and they'll rep 5-10 lines of business or more, but they bring us to their current customers and clients. They bring us to the table, telling them what we have to offer. So that's another way we also reach out. And then we also do some 2 job shop trade shows a year. We know that works. That gets business in, and we do some advertising and trade and magazines and the internet. But just the variety. We're like everyone else, racking the bushes for work. We're all in the same place.
Right, and I applaud your efforts in social media. I am aware of them. I've experienced them, and I see them. While I recognize the concern of not being able to see the buyers in the model, the fact that you have begun to make the effort when maybe it's not an accepted business practice in your industry yet, I think for our listening audience, that's a learning moment, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's only an example of how you and Dan are looking to continue to reinvent Crenshaw Dye Manufacturing. That's a public way that we talked about it, but I know within the business there would be other examples of things that you guys are doing in advance of what the conventions in the industry are to continue to make your company of value to the target audience and clients that you have. So let's talk about challenges. Would you share with our audience, Dale, maybe a current challenge that you and Dan are now facing in running the business when, as you kind of alluded to earlier in the interview, the gross sales are under pressure?
Yeah. In these times, we have a tendency to get myopic. We focus only on the day-to-day events, and we have quite a bit less forward thinking, because you're just so involved in the current. Decisions are harder to make, usually because of cash flow issues, when we're under this pressure of, trying to make things out of nothing. We have decisions that we have to make about keeping employees, you know, with all of the issues of job loss and everything else. You know, we have to keep ourselves lean enough, and you know, juggling, eliminating man hours and material delivery schedules, all that complicates the normal flow of work. And so we're trying to keep our material turns, you know, within a week or so that you're not holding out to get paid for the material that you bring in at a certain date. And we don't have as good a handle on the expenses that you thought you did. You know, you might have issues there that create problems just because of cash flow. And you know, we're trying to stay involved outside our walls as well as, you know, in the business. And that's a real important thing to me. My father-in-law, Bob Johnson, deceased, but he told me before he passed on, he says, Dale, if you want to be successful, you need to work 50% on your business and 50% in your business. And that's an idea that I've latched onto and getting involved in our associations and things like that. And then, it also requires, you know, these times require creative scheduling of the operations and trying to meet the customer's requirements at a less cost, but also bring more value to them. So it's a juggling act. In reality, when you get into these times, you have to learn a little bit more how to juggle and be out in the shop and be out on the street and all these other things. So. But gotta stick with it.
It's interesting, Dale, because you started by talking about under pressure, decisions are harder to make, and you have to fight the tendency to become myopic in your view as the leader and driving the direction of the company. And and then you sort of segued into talking about things that you're doing to prevent that from happening, like being involved in associations and with companies that are, you know, outside your industry as well. And looking for that, and again, I think that's another opportunity to kind of reinforce with our listening audience that we all share that under stress, whether it's from revenue stress or whatever the stress might be. Your field of vision, as far as the possibilities that are out there, does tend to naturally narrow, and you have to make the conscious decision that you've got to push the blinders back away again, because therein may lie some of the opportunities that you need to reinvigorate the firm or to take it to the next level in performance. So I applaud what you and Dan are doing to continue to reinvent the firm and move outside of what would be maybe a comfort zone that businesses can fall into.
Yeah, and my brother has also, you know, done CEO groups outside, and that you know, that has benefited his life here and outside of work as well.
Well, Dale, is there anything else about you or Crenshaw Dye and Manufacturing that I've not thought to ask you about today?
Well, I think one thing I'd like to say is that as a company, we're doing putting our best foot forward to be positive and with all the negativity in the midst of our economy. And we truly feel that as a company that we can be and we are a valuable asset to our customers. We try to make our customers know that. The one positive thing about this economy is that it's helped level things out for a lot of us. And then people, you know, just in reality, people are becoming more basic. They're becoming more simple and more fundamental in their thinking, and people are doing with less. And you know, that some of that hurts the economy because they're not buying as much. But in general, people are smarter, you know, and they're making more smart. They're making smarter decisions and about you know, their extravagance extravagance is almost a social sin now. You know, we and it used to be something that people would strive for, being extravagant and buying the new BMWs and everything else. And I think they're just kind of taking a step back, and they're looking at things a little bit more. But I think it's a positive takeaway from the downturn, and I think it's a necessary takeaway with the way things are going.
Interesting, and time will certainly prove that out as we are able to get some more distance. And as Chris talked about in our initial interview, from a financial planning perspective, you know, cautiously optimistic about the economy and what we can expect in 2010 and 2011. But the lessons of 2008 and 2009 will probably last maybe a lifetime for many of us.
I hope they do. You know, I think we become more stupid if we don't see history's lessons and learn from them.
Exactly. Well, Dale, if someone would like to learn more about you and Dan or Crenshaw Dyeing Manufacturing, what would you suggest they do?
I would suggest that they go onto our website, which is www.crenshaw, C-R-E-N-S-H-A-W, D-I-E-M-F-G, manufacturing.com. And then we also have a toll-free number if they're looking for us to do a job for them. It's 800-654-6296. You can email me, and I'd be happy to talk with you, or call me anytime, and we can touch base.
Well, I appreciate the time you've given our audience today, the thoughtful and candid answers that you've given to my questions, and the time's gone by quickly, as I expected it would, but I've really enjoyed our time together, Dale. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me on, and I wish you best of luck and good new year, and hopefully we can turn this economy around.
Well, I appreciate it, and I know that you and Dan are doing all you can within Crenshaw Dyeing Manufacturing to continue to reinvent the firm and present the value to the marketplace. So thank you very much for your time today, Dale.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it.
Okay, goodbye.